That our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us tonight through Dave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, so one of the songs, and one of the songs we sang, it said, Jesus is Lord of it all. Do we believe that here tonight in this room?
Yeah?
Yeah? Come on. He's so good. The series that we're going through right now is Greater Things, and we're truly believing for greater things, not just individually, but as a corporate body, as a region, and as a global church. And so as we go through the series of Greater Things, I've been pondering about what it means to believe for greater things when you see what's happening in society today. And I think many of us have already, maybe many of us have seen great things. I think we're believing we're going to see greater things, whether it's personally, in our family, in our community, across the board. And I think many times our past experiences shape our view of the future. And if that was a negative thing, it left a mark. And so I think even especially in homes where it's supposed to be a safe place, my prayer tonight is that this would be a spiritual home for a spiritual family. So I'm probably going to need a little interaction tonight, maybe a couple hallelujahs, a couple amens, because, yeah, it's just a safe place to discover and grow together. I do believe as well, some of us in the room tonight, we may have heard promises from the Lord that are so big we can't see how they'd be possible, especially in our lifetime and based on what we can bring. So really my heart is to share a bit about the process that I'm in and the shaping and the molding and the chiseling that he continues to do in my heart and my spirit as we journey. And so the title that I have for the message, it's not the prosperity gospel, obviously, because it's called Purposeful Pain. Can you guys just say purposeful pain with me, please? So I know that you're out there. Yeah. So the illustration that I want to bring forth is muscle growth. While I'm not, obviously, I could probably use a little muscle tone, as you can tell. I have a lot of friends that are super into fitness, right? I personally enjoy adventure in the context of travel. So let's say a hike. Let's say I go out for a hike. That's awesome. But I'm not about a fitness program. But this is what I know about muscles. If you want to grow muscles, you actually need to tear your muscle. All right? It's called micro tears. And here's when I looked up the process. I wanted to learn a little bit more. I'll just read out what I found online. Here's the word for word what it said. If a workout causes too few micro tears in the fibers, then little muscle growth will occur as a result because the body figures it doesn't need to grow to deal again with such a minor stimulus. That's me, by the way, all about minor stimulus. If a workout causes too many micro tears, then the body will fail to fully repair the muscles and muscle growth will be stunted. If a workout causes optimal micro tearing but the body isn't supplied with sufficient nutrition or rest, no appreciable amount of muscle growth will occur. For optimal muscle growth, you must lift in such a way that causes optimal micro tearing, and then you must feed your body with what it needs to grow and give it a proper amount of rest. Okay? That's the message. I'm done. No, seriously though, you hear that? Optimal growth, need to lift in such a way that causes optimal micro tearing, and then you must feed your body what it needs to grow and give it the proper amount of rest. And so I have some friends, again, that like adventure. And even for me, hiking sometimes, you get out there on a hike, right? And in the moment, it can be fun to do extreme sports. And then the next day and the day after that, and especially about 3 days after, you really start questioning your decision-making process, right? Has anybody ever been there? You did something like 3 days later, you were so sore, you were like, what was I thinking? But you have to tear your muscles to grow. So for me, I'm analyzing and applying that in a spiritual sense in a society where maybe we want to be comfortable, but we say we want greater things. Then for me, in a spiritual context, what is purposeful pain and what is that process? So I really have come to believe that how many of us ever had God speak a promise in our life? So you're carrying a promise in your heart, right? God spoke a promise that he wants to accomplish something in your lifetime. Now, how many of us are still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise? Right? So that's what I'm talking about. God speaks a promise, And I think many times we wake up the next morning, we think, okay, that's great, he promised it, let's start rolling, by the end of the week it'll be accomplished. But when I look at examples like Abraham, King David, Saul, right, God would release a promise, and there'd be extended, what I would call a gap season, until they actually started walking in that promise. And I think when we're reading through the Bible, you start reading it, and you can just read one chapter, and it's like 40 years later, and it goes on, and you're like, no, wait a minute. 40 years. What happened in that gap season? And so I believe if we're going to see greater things, we need to embrace that process, because there's usually that gap between his promise and the release of that promise. And then that gap season, there's this purposeful pain, and in that season, we can do a lot, but accomplish little. All right? So we can accomplish, we can do a lot without accomplishing anything. And why do I believe that? For me, again, I can look at the current condition of society and I see the orphan spirit, right? The victim mentality, where you want everybody to do something for you, or maybe we want change, we want other people to change, but we're not willing to allow the Father to come in. But if we know that he loves us, then our mindset can shift from a powerless victim to a son and a daughter with purpose and hope for the future, right? So really what I want to talk about tonight is what's our heart posture in this gap season? Because if we trust in him, we can live with long-term vision rather than day-to-day survival, right? And so for me, it would be going from survival, from just trying to survive, to thriving. Because I really do believe he wants us to thrive. And if we truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in that gap season, then that's when we can begin to actually walk out that purpose. And the context that I want to bring tonight, the scripture that I was really processing through, and believe me, if I could live this way, I would love it. But it's really, as we read through this, it's almost polar opposite of how I approach life. It's found in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Here's what it says. It's, therefore I tell you, Jesus is talking about how to structure your life and how to live for the kingdom of God. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And as we continue to read that, it's just a reminder over and over again to not be anxious, to focus on the long term. And then the last one is in 34, the verse says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. I'm sorry, let's go back one more, verse 33. But seek first, this is really what I want to bring out, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I know for myself is, if I'm believing God has a promise and I'm walking in the right spirit, there's not a doubt that it's going to happen. It's a matter of what does he want to do in my heart, and how does he want to bring that forth, and when is he going to release that, and what's my part in that? And when I think about Paul, I think about how he celebrated temporary afflictions, and I'm like, if I'm anxious about the day-to-day practical needs of life, how can I celebrate when something comes up? Again, a relational conflict, right? Maybe you have a flat tire on the way to work. I don't know what it is. Any minor thing that starts to, something starts to rise up, right? It's just like, no, not today. And I think even as a generation, we've gotten used to calling it spiritual warfare, right? We want to blame the enemy for everything. And the last I checked, the battle's already won. We already know the outcome of the story. I'm not saying that he doesn't have some temporary things he wants to cause chaos and confusion upon the earth. I get that. But we know his future, right? So why would I be anxious? It's because I'm forgetting that, and I'm starting to focus on my strength, or I'm spending so much time and energy worrying or striving just to meet practical needs. And from what I'm reading here is, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things are going to be added unto you. So why would I be anxious about tomorrow? Apparently it's because I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so then when I started processing through that, I'm like, well, who's an example of somebody that actually celebrated, had learned to celebrate, and then we'll get into why I think he learned to celebrate, those temporary afflictions is Paul. And for that, I want to go into 2 Corinthians 4. And what he talks about here is treasure in jars of clay. And there again, I think, so Paul has this awareness that a clay jar, a clay pot is fragile, right? So the outer shell is fragile. And it's what's within that pot that he wants to focus on. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Listen to this. Can you imagine if this was our situation, how I would respond or how we would respond? We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So really, when I look at Paul, I think he had an awareness that those afflictions developed his character. And that's why he was willing to celebrate these temporary afflictions. You guys are awfully quiet tonight. Are you guys out there? You alive? Yeah? Is he good? Okay. Do you celebrate temporary afflictions? No? It's probably why it's quiet. Honestly, none of us like it. We're like, comes to it, just check me out. Seriously. But I want to encourage us tonight, guys. He doesn't do it because he's mean. If we know his character, then he has our best interest in mind. So how can we shift from thinking, oh, woe is me, poor pitiful me again, to like celebrating that we have an opportunity to grow? Because we are crushed. If we look at society right now, I think many of us, if we thought we had a plan for our life or we had it all figured out, hopefully the last 5 months shattered that. Because if it didn't, honestly, I don't know what it's going to take. So my encouragement is, how can we take this pain and turn it into purposeful pain like Paul would talk about and what he actually accomplished or what Jesus did in and through him? To me, I think one of the main keys is faith. And something Stephen said that really brought language to a lot of what I experienced in my life is that faith comes before understanding. All right? So faith comes before understanding. I spent probably 10 years of my life asking God to reveal what it was so I could actually step into it. Well, that doesn't really require faith. That just requires like obedience to what you heard. So faith is believing in something that is not yet seen. And so if God speaks to God a miracle-sized promise, then that season of shaping and molding between the promise and the fulfillment to me is a true test of our faith. Right? He doesn't just put that in there to put us on the shelf and put us on pause. It's actually a true test of our faith. And I think many of us, we're still waiting on for understanding before we step forward. But again, often for me, the understanding comes as I take that step. And then you take the next step. And suddenly you're 10 steps down the journey, and you're not really even sure how you got there. You just know that he moved you forward. And so for me, that's really what faith is. And walking this out, if I ask someone when their spiritual growth really began, it's usually not when there was a release of resources or there was a release of something that we really thought we needed, maybe a mentor, not that it's bad, but I think it's most common answer that I hear is when we just said yes. Said, you know what, I am at the end of myself. I don't have it figured out, but I want your plan for my life and I'm available. Will you please start working in and through me? And so with that is, I think we may not be able to see something with our physical eyes. However, we can see it through our spiritual eyes. And one of the things, I was reading through a book here in the last couple weeks called Community is Messy, which, by the way, it is. So hopefully you're not here expecting it not to be messy. Because I think, yeah, it's just messy because we're people. But what I really took away from that is many people, we want to see a miracle. Very few of us are willing to be in a position where we need one. I'm just going to let that land for a little bit. Many people want to see miracles, but very few people are willing to be in a position where they need one. What's our faith level? I think God wants to take us to that faith level where we're believing for miracles every day. We wake up in the morning, we have that excitement. What could happen today? Rather than fixing on what could go wrong or maybe what we have to do to make it come forth. Here's my experience. He always does his part. It's a matter of whether or not I do mine. So when these afflictions come up, really then my heart posture, what I'm striving for, believe me, I'm not there yet. But what I really want to get to a place is a heart posture of I want to allow him to purify my faith in that. Because I do believe our heart posture, our surrender, our willingness to surrender, I should say, and then our practical process of walking that out can actually dictate or help determine the length of that season. And you say, where do you get that from? Well, when I look at the children of Israel, it was about a 9-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. And that 9-day journey turned into 40 years. Why is that? I think there's multiple reasons. I honestly believe one of those is lack of faith. They didn't believe they could actually overcome their enemies. And so James puts it this way. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so here's one thing that I do believe as well, is being in fellowship with like-minded believers is key to having steadfast faith. Right? Have you ever been pursuing something that you're about ready to give up on? Am I the only one that ever reached a point where I'm like, I'm done? Then ideally, thankfully, I had some friends that came alongside at just the right time and provided the encouragement. Anybody else have friends like that? And you know what? Many times, breakthrough was right on the other side of that encouragement. But if I don't have friends that believe in the process or in what God actually is doing, then how am I going to have steadfast faith if I'm carrying a promise, but I don't have encouragement alongside of that? Right? We all need encouragement. That's what we're here for. That's what spiritual family is. So that's faith. For me, one of the things is faith is, are we allowing God to continue to purify our faith? The second big thing is character. And this one really hurts, I'll be honest. When he starts chiseling at my character, it gets ugly quick. Usually, I start responding to him almost in anger, right? Like, all right, so you spoke a promise, and now you're putting me through this test. Like, are you going to come through again like you did last time? Like, for some reason, I have this belief that maybe he won't this time. But we're created in his image, yet our character falls short. So what I see a lot is in this gap season, he starts working on our character. I see it even again with the Israelites. And so we say, well, what is character? So I looked up the definition. It's the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So why is character important? To me, is our character is important because it often helps us make a decision before we even arrive at the decision point. Right? If we have moral values, then we're going to be walking into situations that would maybe we could be compromised in. But if we have those qualities within us, we already made the decision before we had to. Does that make sense? So I think what he's doing in that is that he knows he doesn't want to release us into the next season until he's developed our character. Because the promise, sometimes the promise is so big it would crush us with our current character. So I want to even celebrate, again, when I think about character, I think honestly when I process with a lot of people anymore, I'm going to speak mostly to the younger generation, and I love the passion and the heart that I see. I think the biggest challenge for us is, with an information age, we can hop online and we can get literally information or see so many opportunities that maybe without online presence, we wouldn't be aware of it. And you guys are like, well, yeah, you know, preach me another sermon on technology. But my experience is sometimes we have so many opportunities, we get overwhelmed, and we're waiting for the one big golden opportunity to be the right one, and we think that's actually going to release the entire promise. What I see is if we're faithful to what he put right in front of us and we allow him to shape our character, then he can release more. Right? So if you feel stuck and you're processing through 10 different opportunities, my challenge is, can you please commit to what God has right in front of you? Give it everything you have. Give it everything you have. Invest wholeheartedly right? And then once that season is complete and he's developed and purified us, then he can actually release a bit more. Because again, receiving responsibility or purpose without the character to carry it will crush us. We know that. And so again, when I look at the children of Israel, it's like a lack of character, right? They're complaining at God, even like me. Sometimes, like I said, I kind of get a little upset. And I think I personally believe he wants to know our heart. I mean, he already knows it, so why wouldn't we communicate it to him? I think it's okay to let him know when we're frustrated and angry, but I don't want to stay in that place, right? That starts to be a little dangerous. So again, what does Paul say about this? If he says these temporary afflictions, he started to celebrate them, and they didn't crush him, what did he have to say about it? 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self, again, he's now talking about the outer clay, right? The clay pot is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's the kind of promise that he makes. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So if we want to see God-sized miracles, can we let him work on us a little bit? We're believing for greater things, guys. And as we look around the globe right now, this would be a great time to see greater things start to emerge. And I think, honestly, a lot of people have been talking about praying for revival, right? It's the catchphrase of the generation of the last 20 years. Like, we want to see revival, we want to see revival, we want to see revival. And if I'm really honest with you guys, I think we're already seeing it, especially in this region. Even globally right now, he's purifying his church. But how many times do we pray a prayer, he answers the prayer, but it looks different than what we thought it was going to? So individually, he's purifying us, he's working at us. But I think globally, he's doing the same thing. And then regionally, we see these little pockets, right, where his presence is showing up. And I think it's easy for us to start to take that for granted. But yeah, even in our prayer time tonight, we were just talking about as a leadership team, we don't want just another ministry night. I don't want us to leave tonight with just a catchphrase. Right? There's a river. What we prayed about and talked about and the word for the night is there's a river flowing from the throne room. And we want to be in that river and receive from the Father. Right? Let him fill us. Let him mold us and shape us. The last piece really of what I want to talk about in a gap season is timing. Timing is such a critical thing to see that the promises and the purposes of God come forth. And often for me, I try to bring it forth, or we try to bring it forth in our own strength and timing. So God makes a promise. Again, it's like, what can I do today to make it happen? And how can we be done by the end of the week? How can we be walking in it by the end of the week? But all of creation functions in cohesive seasons and complementary patterns. So in our life, I think we're the same way. There's ebbs and flows, right? There's a rhythm to life. And if we don't learn the lesson of the season, it usually comes back around. Right? How many of you guys, or maybe you haven't, but let me tell you, sometimes my life feels like a carousel. It's literally one loop after the next. The lesson that he's trying to teach me comes in a different package, many times through a different person or a different situation, but it's actually the same lesson. That resonate? So if you're in a cycle, I think it's because he can't release the promise for various reasons. One of them is timing. But they come back around, and I think one of those that when you would look at a biblical example of forcing timing would be Sarah. So God made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah that he's going to give them more descendants than they could count. Said, look at the stars, right? I'll give you more descendants, and they couldn't count all the stars. He said, I'll give you more descendants than the stars. Well, Sarah takes that and tries to bring it about on her own strength. He already promised them that their offspring would like be the stars. It's in Genesis 16:2. So Sarah said to Abraham, these had their original names, Abram and Sarai, but the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed with Sarai's proposal. So I think many of us, we don't want to wait for the timing, and so we settle for a counterfeit version. Right? We build it on our own strength. We build it with the blueprint we had in mind, and it becomes less. It's not that he doesn't always stop us from moving forward in that direction, but it becomes a counterfeit version that wasn't part of his original plan. And so again, I do believe we're going to see greater things. I believe he is moving upon the earth in this generation with specific purposes and promises for each of us. I think our role is three things. Do we have faith that he's going to bring it forth? Are we willing to allow him to shape and mold our character? And then are we willing to wait on his timing? Even in this room, I've the privilege of connecting with so many people, obviously, in the room. We get to interact prayer nights, community groups, ministry nights, you name it. And I just get the sense that some of us right now, we're almost opportunity weary. Right? We have so many opportunities, we're just kind of over it. We're just kind of over opportunities. Because we're like, yeah, had those before, prayed through them, tried to do it my own strength. It didn't work out anyway, so I'm just going to kind of either check out and cruise, or I'm going to give it 50% effort until the right thing shows up, and then I'll actually give it everything I have. And so my challenge tonight is I believe we're going to see greater things, but I really believe we need to embrace the process. And how are we going to navigate that gap season between his promise and the release of that promise? Because again, we can do a lot without accomplishing anything. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm with you. If you want I want life to have meaning. Right? I want my life to have meaning. I don't know how many days it is, how many hours it is, how many more breaths it is. But at the end of that, I want my life to have, upon the earth, to have mattered. And so, can we begin celebrating the challenges as opportunities to grow? And then move from anxious to expectant. Because I got to tell you guys, there are so many times that I've seen the promises of God come forth. There are so many times he was faithful yet again. And I find myself in that moment, being anxious. So how does that make sense? The only way it could make sense is that I wouldn't believe that he's faithful and that he's going to do it again. So I believe we're in a generation, many of us in the room are younger, I believe we're either in a gap season or we're certainly going to experience a gap season. And my biggest encouragement, guys, is take heart. It's not that he forgot. It's not that he doesn't know how to bring the promise forward. It really starts with faith. It starts with saying yes. Faith comes before understanding. And being in community, guys, is the key to steadfast faith. We need that encouragement. At least I do. Character. Are your mental and moral qualities based upon biblical truth? Or are they based on the world's or societies, or cultural expectations? Are you allowing God to continue shaping your character? And then timing. He's trying to teach us something in the current season. So I'm going to encourage us, be patient. If you're believing for greater things, if you're believing for greater opportunities, and you feel, okay, I just have to go to this, what I would presume to be a dead-end job tomorrow again. I have to do the same thing I did for the last 5 years again. Be patient. I would encourage us to invest wholeheartedly in what he has right in front of us. to not settle for a counterfeit version. The gap seasons are going to come, guys. They're going to come for our own benefit. So I really don't know what he's speaking to each of our hearts right now. My sense is that many of us are carrying a promise that we're on the verge of giving up on. Or we're asking the question, is it really worth it? And I'm here, I just simply want to pray for us in that. I believe there is a river from heaven tonight. And I believe that he wants to release authority in our lives. And I think he wants to give us a spirit of encouragement. So I'm not going to ask anybody to come out of our seats. But if you want encouragement, and you want to walk the gap season well, and you want to be like Paul and begin to celebrate temporary afflictions, then I want us just to put our arms out and begin to get in the posture ready to receive. I believe the Father that is on the throne has not walked away from his promise. So, Lord, we're here. You already know our hearts. You know the mental wrestle between actually believing that you're going to come through and not settling for that counterfeit version. We want to be a willing vessel. We want to be shaped and molded. And the only thing we can take with us is who we become. And so we want to be shaped and molded into the image that you have in mind. And we want to walk with steadfast faith, Father, with a smile on our face and joy in our hearts. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I ask you to touch us right now. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you visit us in this place tonight. That you encourage us in the way that only you can. Just to ask the Lord what he has for us tonight. What does he want to speak to each of us? Believe me, I don't have the answers. The answers that he has for you may not be able to be found in this message. But the creator of the universe, the one who saw fit to place us upon the earth for such a time as this, wants to speak something over our lives tonight. So we invite that Holy Spirit. Wait on you. Father, I ask that you release promises tonight. New promises. You had a plan and a purpose to put us upon the earth. I ask you begin to reveal what some of those are tonight. That we could begin to walk out moment by moment, day by day, towards that, instead of just wondering and waiting if you even have a purpose for us. Take heart. Take heart. There's a river from the throne room tonight. I'd also like us all just to close our eyes. Continue to receive from the Lord. If you haven't received anything, I just want to challenge us to ask Him what this means for us. What's our reality in the midst of this? I think for some of us, we say, well, who is this God? Who is this Father? Who is this Jesus? I don't know Him personally. So I just want to extend an invitation tonight. If you don't know Him, if you've never actually surrendered your life to Him, and you're like, how do I even walk this thing out? I don't even know what the first step is. I want to encourage us that the first step is to say, yes, I don't have it figured out. I'm at the end of myself, and I need You, Jesus. That I want to give my life to You, and I will allow You to flow through me for all my days. I want to become who You created me to be rather than my own version. And so if you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord in that way before and you want to, I want to just encourage us to slip up your hand. I want to pray for us specifically.